Oh, well, I have to start by saying thank you to Susan for allowing me the pulpit, and I know she doesn't do that lightly. And to all of you, you know, I probably should be nervous, not because y'all are just my friends, you know, and my family. And so some things hit me over the holidays, and it was just really my, when I sat down to do this, my editing. Because, and you'll see, Renee, whenever you're ready to start the thingy up there, what are we going to do with all these gifts? I'm sure we, most of us, had a chance to think that thought over the last week when you look down at the knee-deep wrapping paper in the floor and the stuff scattered all over the place. We're all very blessed to be able to give each other so much to commemorate the gift of our Savior that came. And I got to tell you about an awesome gift that I got from my in-laws while we were there. Y'all know that I cut hair for a living, keeping Kingsport beautiful. And doing that, I'm on my feet 10, 12 hours a day. And very often, I don't get to sit down during that time. And so the gift that they got me was the most thoughtful and useful gift that I've gotten in a long, long time. They got me one of those robot foot massagers. You put it in the floor and plug it in and stick your toes in there, and I just can't even tell you how awesome that thing is. And it's a great gift for a few reasons. It shows that they love me and they care for me and my well-being. It shows that they know me, because they could have gotten me 100 other gifts that wouldn't have meant a thing in the world to me, but they know me very well. And they were able to give me gifts that I can really, really appreciate and use. And it got me to thinking about the gifts that God has given us. He's given us many, many, many gifts. And this morning I'm going to talk about all of them. I'm not. What I wanted to do was come up with the big ones. The big ones, and the reasons why gifts mean so much to us, and the reasons why we should remember these gifts in particular. Now, I understand you could do 100 sermons on gifts, and you could have thousands of different gifts that God gives us up there, and I'm not trying to make a definitive list. I'm not theologically smart enough to do that, but these are certainly worth looking into. We have a word of God. God gave us... Well, it says right here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. He gave us this. This isn't a group of dudes that just got together and thought they'd write some good ideas down, and somehow it managed to get compiled and last for thousands and thousands of years when so many other texts and scriptures fell by the wayside and don't mean anything anymore. It means something because it was given directly to us by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. The best gifts are useful, and I defy you to find a more useful gift. It's profitable for what? Doctrine, how to live right. Reproof, how to know when you've stopped living right. Correction, how to get back on the right track and live right then. Those three things alone, if there was nothing else in here. It says it instructs us in righteousness. It instructs us in how to be more Christ-like and how to be more like our Heavenly Father and how to do the things He would have us to do. And why that we can be complete. Now, complete is a big deal. I don't feel all the time. Most of us probably don't. But that feeling of completeness, thoroughly equipped, it's the Swiss Army knife of biblical, you know, of spiritual gifts. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. And there's plenty of those. And there are gifts upon gifts upon gifts within this scripture. I want to talk about one real quick. The Ten Commandments. And the reason I just want to throw this in as an example is because it was brought to me in a new way. I was reading an article or watching an interview. It was one of those things. I don't always remember where I got stuff. But, you know, most of my youth, up through my teenage years, I sort of thought of the Ten Commandments as that list of really fun stuff that God doesn't want you to do. You know, it's that don't get in there because that's... If you look at it from the perspective of these are don'ts, don't go there, don't do this, it seems on the surface like it could be a restrictive type of a thing, but really and truly, that's a beautiful gift. if we accept it as a gift, because what it does is it allows us to live our lives freely without guilt, without worry. It teaches us how not to mistreat each other, because we all have a tendency, at least I do, to get a little emotionally reckless sometimes. If I get wrapped up in myself, I'm not always thinking maybe about Ashley or about my kids or about some of you folks that I spend time with. It helps me to be harmless in the world, and it keeps me from ever having to look over my shoulder, because if I follow those rules, then there's no one that comes up behind me and says, hey, Todd, what about that? What about this? What about this thing in your past that you did? What about that person over there? It lets me look forward. I don't ever have to look back. I don't ever have to have that little nagging, what have I done back there? And I'm really thankful for that, as well as all of the instruction in this book. So practicality, usefulness, is the first great quality of a gift. And other gifts we recognize and we pay attention to because they're expensive. Have you opened something this year and looked at somebody and said, oh my gosh, I can't take this. This is too expensive. This cost you too much. You can't give me this. This is too costly. It's not fair. I can't give you something just as nice, or I didn't get you something just as nice. You shouldn't have gone there. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. Now, I think all of us in here that have parents, that have children, or that spend a lot of time with children understand. And I've said this before, I'll loan you my kids. You can work them to death for a day if you want to. I got no problem. As long as you feed them and bring them home at the end of the day, that's great, but you can't have them. Right? You cannot have them. I'm not giving them to you. Not any part of them, because they're mine. I love them. And they are so very, very valuable to me. Y'all think about the things that are most valuable to you, and how many of those things you would give as a gift. Not many. Not many. The gift that God gave us through his son, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that we could have everlasting life. And it struck me when I was going over this right out of the blue, never thought about it before in my life. He gave the most precious thing, his own son, to a group of people, knowing that a large number of that people wouldn't accept it. Large numbers of people will never accept the gift of Jesus Christ, even though it is the most expensive and the most costly and the most precious gift really that's ever been given. You know, that would hurt my feelings if I gave somebody, if I gave one of my sons something that really meant a lot to me. I've got a couple of knives that my grandfather gave me, and I keep them put away because I'll never get another one. One in particular my dad gave me, it's an old timber scribe, and I've never seen anything like it in my life. It looks like a 7 with a knife handle on it. And it's been worn down to nearly nothing. It's not useful for anything except it reminds me of my dad. Now, one of these days, one of my boys will get it. But imagine I handed it to him and he said, no thanks. I really don't need it. I don't have any use for it. Why don't you just take it? Or if I gave it to him and then I found it later, you know, laid on the side of the road or something like that. But God gave this gift so that those of us that did choose to receive it would have the benefit of this precious, precious, costly, costly gift. And through Jesus Christ, we get to eternal life. What better gift than the one that you keep, that you use over and over again, that you have for your own, and it becomes an heirloom? You know, we get gifts that are so precious to us that we put them in a certain place, and we guard them, and we take care of them. Well, here's a gift that's going to last you forever and ever and ever and ever. 1 John 5:11 and 12, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and that this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Forever and ever and ever. Now I'm going somewhere with that. Let's see here. What this gives us is the freedom to have the choice to live completely without fear. We can get up every morning with a blueprint of instructions. We have a lifelong companion in Jesus Christ that is with us, that just takes us by the hand, and anything we're into, if we're focusing, we have Christ in us. We have eternal life. What are we afraid of? There's not a single thing that a Christian should ever have to be fearful about. Ever. Now that's pretty amazing. You know, Ashley's parents have kept my feet from hurting this year, but think about the possibilities of living your life absolutely fear-free, absolutely certain, absolutely knowing that God, through his gifts, is with us. And I can't talk about the eternal life just in case there's someone in here that doesn't know without showing that you get there if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You'll be saved. Greatest gift of all, salvation. Baumrucker's fond of saying, Steve Baumrucker, for y'all that might not know, he has said to me many times over the years, the perfect gift is a gift that someone desperately needs, but they wouldn't get for themselves. You can't achieve that. I can't achieve that by myself. It only comes through Christ Jesus. And so therefore, I would submit that that's the perfect gift. So then, if we're saved from sin, we're taught how to live, we're given comfort, we're given assurance for the future, it meets all of the criteria of usefulness, of thoughtfulness, of being able to be used over and over and over and over again. It's a part of us. How do we accept gifts graciously? My greatest fear when the boys were younger on Christmas time, y'all know how this is, they open up the wrapping paper and you're thinking, oh, please, please don't say you don't like it. Please don't look at it the wrong way. I remember my grandmother once gave me a present, and it was a little gymnast action figure. Well, I wanted Star Wars action figures. I wanted Batman and Superman and Boba Fett. I didn't want a little gymnast figure of somebody I never heard of before. And I said so. And I was little and silly, and she loved me anyway. You know, she didn't hold that against me. I think I embarrassed Mom. I don't know if she remembers now. But how do we accept gifts graciously? Number one, we give thanks. And in this case, I try to train myself to give thanks constantly. I try to train myself to be in an attitude of acknowledgement, of just saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for being here. God, thank you for all of your gifts. Just on a continual, you know, just a way of looking at the world. But the most important thing is to use it. You know, I could give folks unbelievable gifts. If I was going to give Walter the perfect gift, I would probably look for a vintage guitar, something really slick and nice, maybe even one that somebody famous played or something like that. And I'd wrap it up just as awesome and pretty, and I'd give it to him, and I know he'd be thrilled with that. But what I would really want to know later is, hey, man, have you played that guitar yet? Are you enjoying it? You know, I might give members of the Pout House gang maybe a nice new lathe or some cool tools, some neat woodworking stuff that they could use. You know, I might give Jerry some an old car to work on, something like that. And what I'd want to know is, how's the car coming along? Are you enjoying it? Are you doing things with it? So it is through the use of these gifts, and the best gifts are always the ones you can share, aren't they? When you get a great gift and it's yours, don't you want to just take it to everybody? Look what I got. Look what I got. I can't wait to see Ashley play her banjo one day.
One day.
One day. Eventually. Ashley got me started learning bagpipes with a gift. She gave me a beginning, it's called a chanter. And one of these days, I really hope I get to play Amazing Grace for you guys. I really want to do that. It's through the exercise, you know, get to know your gift. If you have a gift of a word of God, open her up. Take her for a test drive. You'll find there's more in here than you'll ever exhaust. Tell people about your eternal life. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Greatest gift ever. Now, the last thing I want to do, I want to try and ask you guys to pull up a memory. And I think we all have it. You may have to go back to when you got the Red Ryder BB gun that you're going to shoot your eye out with. You might have to go back just a little ways if someone did something really special for you. But remember opening that gift that was just perfect. Exactly what you wanted. Fits you just right. It's your color. It doesn't need batteries. It doesn't require assembly. Whatever your best gift you ever got, the feeling of just opening, when you finally realized what you had, that joy, I think of it as like thankfulness turned up to 11. That's the feeling I think of it as, where your heart just swells up and you think, oh, what an amazing gift. And then remember that as Christians, we have the choice of feeling that way every single day. We can choose to have that moment of overwhelming thankfulness and joy at a gift anytime we want it. Because our gift lives here. Our gift is so close to us, it's closer than our cells are to each other. It's closer than we will ever be to our family members. It's closer than anything because God and His Word and His Son and the Holy Spirit dwell inside us. And the first slide that I put up, I left verse 12 in there because it says that you could be perfected to every good work. To every good work. We're going to use these gifts to glorify God. I saw an interview with a very accomplished man. He's been all over the world. His profession has taken him to people who he's helped all over the globe. He's made a lot of money. He's very well known. He's prestigious. I'm not going to get into his name because it's a little political and I don't like to do that up here. But my point is, he's a respected, renowned, successful man. And he was asked, what makes you feel fulfilled? How do you feel like you're accomplishing what you're supposed to in life? Because you've accomplished so much. From where do you draw your greatest satisfaction? And that's what he said. I'm going to leave that up there for a minute. I'm using the gifts God has given me to give Him greater glory. What greater privilege is there than that? What greater privilege is there than that? We've all been given unique gifts from God. Each and every one of us have been given things that God only gave to us. But He's also given us lots and lots of corporate gifts. And so I would like to ask each of us this year, number one, try and develop an attitude of always thankfulness, and more importantly, use these gifts for the glory of God and to bring new people in, to give them the greatest gifts that we've all been given. Using the gifts that God has given us to bring Him greater glory. Amen. Our